Welcome to the Essential Shift Podcast. My name is Laetitia Andrac. If you're a mission-driven entrepreneur looking to grow your soul-aligned business by blending strategy, practical tips, and spiritual wisdom, you're in the right place. Enjoy these conversations about the art of mastering essential shifts in all areas of business and life. Open your heart and mind to all the possibilities that are waiting for you. Welcome to episode 108 of the Essential Shift Podcast. We spoke a lot about abundance beyond a number, beyond money and all of that in the last few weeks with my seven-figure flipped campaign. But it is time to also remember that without money, we don't have a business. And what I am calling out with a seven-figure flipped campaign is not the fact that we don't care about money. It's the fact that we are good custodian of our money and we don't need to make seven figure to be a worthy entrepreneur. Today on the podcast, I thought no one is better to speak about money than Jackie Clark. Jackie Clark and I met through our author mentor, book mentor, when we were writing our book together. And we've been supporting one another and became both author at the same time. She published her book with Wiley. Her book is titled Stop Worrying About Money. And we both work for the same big firm, her in accounting and me in strategy consulting. So we have lots of things in common. And I love how she explains the power that money can have over us and how we can change our relationship with money, how we can uncover our money stories and understand how much it costs to open the front door of your house or your apartment. So I highly recommend you listen to this episode in depth. She's a trusted advisor, a board member, an executor, and a veteran business executive. As a personal wealth and money management expert, she has over three decades of experience and 25 years at Deloitte, the firm we shared. She's helping high net worth families, individual and businesses owner to build, manage and preserve their wealth. Her message is simple. With careful planning and effort, you can manage your money so it doesn't manage you. I'm sure you're going to love listening to Jackie's own story and how she rebuilt her own wealth, but also how she helps others build their wealth and stop worrying about money. It's quite aligned with a seven-figure flip. It's like it's not about how much you make, it's how you're looking after the money you make and how you're a good custodian, again, of your own money. Without further ado, I leave you to this beautiful conversation with Jackie Clark. If you loved this episode, please rate the podcast on Spotify, rate it on Spotify as well, or leave a review on Apple Podcasts and share it with friends. I am preparing a lineup of amazing guests in 2024. And as soon as you share the podcast, it helps me reach new ears. Thank you so much again. Hello, Jackie. Thank you so much for being on the Essential Shift Podcast.
Oh, thanks, Laetitia. I'm really excited to be here with you today.
It's going to be a juicy conversation because Jackie knows so much about money and planning your financial future. So please listen in. She is a goldmine woman. I love it. So Jackie, before we get into the interview, I always love to ask my guests, who are you as a human being? Can you give a bit more of information about you, your background, your upbringing, whatever you feel called to share with our listener?
Well, I could say how long have you got, but I'll tell you what, I'm a Taurus. I'm a mum of five sons, three of mine and two stepsons. We've all lived together for almost 15 years now, so it's pretty wild. Bit of a cattle farmer as well as a business advisor. I've had a long 30-year career in professional services, so basically been helping people on how to run their businesses and their money my whole career. What else can I tell you? Obviously an author now, which is very exciting, a chartered accountant, but I do spend my days really helping people with money challenges.
Yes, and you do that so well. So Jackie and I, you would have heard that in the intro, we met through our community of authors, the expert author community, which I highly recommend any of you who wants to write a book to join. And Jackie wrote her book pretty much at the same time as I wrote mine. And we had, you know, our book launch a few weeks apart. And what I love about your book, Jackie, it's really a new way to see money and giving tips on how to stop worrying about money. So before we share some tips with the listener, I'd love to learn a bit more about why do you think we worry so much about money, which is, you know, the title of the book is Stop Worrying About Money. But why do we worry so much about money?
Well, it's a great question. And you could reflect on this in lots of different ways. I think we all consider financial security as something that is important to us. It might be your financial well-being, but I think it comes down to recognizing how important it is to pay your rent, for example. And that's why people worry about money or paying a mortgage. It's like that first big thing, I think, that comes to mind. But other than that, I think it's just you think back to, I talk a lot about your money story. So coming back to how you started out in life, did you live a particular way when you were growing up? You know, I used to think, can I have the same lifestyle that my parents had? Mm. You know, how do you create that? I know my kids are now asking that question. Can I have the type of lifestyle that I've grown to enjoy in this household with my parents? So there's lots of factors, I think, that influence why we might worry, but also what we need to consider or how we've created. I actually think there's lots of life circumstances that influence why you might worry about money. So, and you can hear stories about people. Somebody dies, somebody gets divorced, probably one of the most significant wealth matters that happens in people's lifetime. Usually that happens after you've been married for a while, you've started to establish some wealth, and then along comes the divorce lawyer and takes all your money with them. So there's lots of circumstances where I guess we can begin to worry about money, but our financial security comes into question. And we don't all have the knowledge, right? Like, we're all good at different things. You're an awesome business coach. You're helping a lot of people. I'm not suggesting you may or may not be good about money, but I know a lot of creative people are really good at being creative, not so good at the financial side of things. So it can be one of those areas that people push away as well and try and avoid it.
Yes. And it's also where, you know, having someone external, you speak about this in the book, and let's get to that concept now around, you know, having your community around you, you know, your financial community around you to equip you. Because even if you're good with money, which I think I am, which, you know, I'm tracking my financials, we are intentional with our investment, we diversify, all of those kind of things, you always have a blind spot. And it's so beautiful to have someone external coming and looking in and telling you, hey, have you considered this? And what about this? And aren't you too leveraged there? Or, you know, aren't you too secure by putting all of this in, you know, this kind of safe account, and it's not actually creating any compound effect, all of those kind of things. So let's expand on this concept that you describe in the book, which, you know, is all about gathering around you the right community to advise you with your finance.
Yeah, and look, this is critical, Letitia, and I think it's a reason why you and I exist in this world, is to be part of somebody's personal finance village. So this is really about having a trusted sounding board of people around you to help you make decisions. Now, sometimes money decisions can be quite emotional, you know, the want versus need decision. And it's good to have people around you that can help you actually sort of navigate your way through that, so that you are achieving maybe something more significant, like a financial goal or some other life goal, by having that person to talk to. So whether it's an accountant, a financial advisor, a lawyer, a coach, a psychologist, all these people are available to obviously put in your village. But one of the things I do remind people to do is to make sure that they that people have the right qualifications. So make sure that you actually do check that people have the right qualifications. You're not just blindly going with that person because somebody said, hey, you should talk to Letitia or you should talk to Jackie because I know them. Actually check that they've got the right qualifications to actually be helping you out as well. And the other thing, you know, I think the main thing is to reduce the risk of making an emotional financial decision.
Yes. So let's get into that point before I ask you another question, but this one around checking qualification, because unfortunately it's something that happened and I'm calling out a lot in the business coaching industry around go on LinkedIn, check that these people actually have the qualification. And I'm very clear around the business coaching, which is where I play. In your area, how can they check and cross-check that, you know, it's not another Enron scandal that is in the play, in the making?
Yeah, and I'm glad that you've sort of held on to this point. A lot of people, particularly those in New South Wales, would be familiar with the Melissa Caddick scandal. So if I'm an advisor who has disappeared and taken with her an awful lot of money or just lived off all of her clients' money. But financial planners, which I'm not, I'm a chartered accountant, but there's registered professional bodies that have our names on them that you can check. But you go right back to people's university degrees and you can actually check through alumni lists to make sure that people did actually go to that university. And I think that's actually a good place to start. But this is just something, and likewise with lawyers, making sure that they're registered, but essentially all professional organisations, you can check them out. And I guess that's the difference between professionally being registered and not. And you want to make sure that somebody is not just a great mate of a friend of yours that, you know, they love dearly.
And what is like one of the, I know you share some in the book, but I would love for you to, you know, maybe share one of the book or share another one. What have been the worst kind of case you've seen of people making wrong money decision? We are not here to make you start worrying about your money if you haven't, but just educating you around what can happen if you don't have everything in order.
Yeah. Well, look, as a female business owner, the worst thing that can happen is you end up homeless in your 60s and 70s, right? So I guess we're working back from there. I've got lots of great stories. And actually, I think what's important to call out here is that you can make mistakes with money and you can make your way back from that. So I think even if you've got a history of disastrous financial decisions and not paying attention to financial matters, that there is a way back from that. So maybe the first thing is to say, call out what the three biggest money mistakes are that people make. Let's do that first. And then maybe we can talk about some sort of turnaround stories. I can share one great one. Yeah.
Let's do that.
The three biggest money mistakes, and I laugh when I see this sometimes, or I see it a lot on TV actually, but the wearing and driving your money is the first biggest mistake that people make. And part of the reason that I can accept why people do it is because it's reachable. You can't just go and buy a house, but you can certainly go and buy a new handbag or a new outfit or some new earrings or a lovely or a car, because you can lease a car. It's all easy. It's quite accessible. So I think the wearing and driving your money is the number one sort of faux pas, if you like, when it comes to money mistakes. The second one is putting your head in the sand so that somebody else looks after it for you, or you just don't want to know. Because what some people do is the money comes in, the rent or the mortgage is covered, and they seem to be living okay. They don't need to know any more than that. And then the third one is actually not knowing what your baseline costs are in your home. So you've heard me talk about open the front door costs.
The front door. I really like this concept. Elaborate on it, because
it's a great concept, because it's essentially saying, what does it cost to open that front door at home? So you walk in the front door and, you know, you turn a light switch on, there's electricity. You've got council rates if you're in a home. If you're in an apartment, you've got rent. You've got, if you own an apartment, it'd be strata rates as well. Then you've got insurance to look after your building and your things, like your contents insurance. Then you sort of dig a little bit deeper. You get into all your subscriptions. You might have security cameras. You might have Netflix. You name it, you'll have a subscription for just your iCloud storage, your internet services, your iPhone. I mean, the list goes on and on. This is your baseline of costs. You need to know what they are, because if you're going to make any change and certainly set yourself up in a financial goal, you need a baseline to understand where you're at. So they're kind of like those three big mistakes. Now, one of the stories I'd love to share with you is someone I've known for a very long time, who almost sort of mirror image in terms of our life. So I'm in my early 50s, and this person traditionally sort of went through a good school, went on to university, got a great job, and sort of progressed through the ranks as an executive, being paid really well. But all through that time, she did not pay attention to her baseline costs. And every time she wanted something, she bought it. Then she got a credit card and she put the costs on the credit card. And she did the Afterpay, she did the Harvey Normans. And that's a colloquial saying, Letitia, but, you know, it's like the you can go and get 18 or 24 months interest free when you shop at Harvey Norman, which is a great deal when you don't have the cash right now. And so she continued to do that, and holidays to Fiji and Phuket, Thailand, they all went on the credit card. You want to go away, you buy something, put on the credit card. To the point where over a long period of time, it was a bit out of control, and then she got divorced. And then the difficulty that a lot of people face with divorce, apart from the grief that you go through, is actually having still to raise children, but you're running two households. So you sort of still have the same lot of things, but you have an additional cost. It's not half the cost. It's actually more than that. So then trying to start from that period, and again, still not having a recognition of baseline costs. Anyway, to cut a long story short, she was reading the paper maybe 2 or 3 years ago now. So this is quite a recent story in terms of the moral to the story. And she read the article about a famous Australian chef whose wife, who had just died and whose wife was living in housing commission, like almost homeless and had been homeless. And this is a really well-known chef in Sydney. And this person was reading the article and went, like, had an aha moment, this could be me. And from that moment, she actually got on top of acknowledging what her baseline costs were, made some really clear decisions about her car, for example, and what she wasn't going to buy next, and started to set about a plan to work out how she could save up enough money to make a deposit on a home to get her out of a renting cycle. She'd owned homes before, but with her former husband had to sell, things like that. Yeah. And started to build up and actually did start to build up a property portfolio. And what I mean by that is she bought a property, she was able to buy another rental property, you know, to start on the path, so that she's in a position now, some years later, from having that aha moment where she saved money, because she always had a good income, but she was always spending it.
Yeah.
And actually able to set herself up so that she's not going to have to work till she's 75 or 80. and she will have a roof over her head. She could probably sell everything and live in something very small and nice and be very happy. But yeah, big turnaround story, but at least she had the realization, which some people never do.
Yes. Yes. And I love what you shared around, you know, those three tips and illustrating it with that story, because it's giving everyone who listens to this podcast, since, you know, the incentive to start and looking at their financials, because actually, as soon as you start looking at it, you can tweak a few things and quickly you get that in order. And you were sharing,
I was going to say, because the idea, I think people get frightened. It's overwhelming. It can be overwhelming. But if you just sit down one afternoon with a cup of tea and open up, as I say, just your credit card statements and just look at 1 month in isolation, just to work out what those outgoings are, you might get a shock, because you might see that there's things going out you didn't know about, which 9 times out of 10 is the case, because we're forever signing up to new things that cost like more and more subscriptions. And then you get your baseline there, and then you just work out what 1 month costs you. And you know what your income is, and you want to see that there's a bit of a delta between the two, so that you can create a plan around that delta, which is savings maybe towards a financial goal rather than just spending willy-nilly.
Yes. And what's really interesting is a cultural shift for me. So I never had a credit card, by the way. I'm having my first ever business credit card to get Qantas points since the 1st of July this year. Before I was like, God. And you know, with the American Express, I'm always like, can I pay now? I'm like, no, it's 52. I'm like, I don't care, I want to pay now, because I want to, you know, see my balance sheet in my business being reconciled and all that. But basically, it's the first time I have a credit card, and for us in France, living on a credit card is really bad, whereas here I see so many people living on credit cards.
Yes, it's actually culturally, I'd say it's very common to live on credit cards in Australia. It's a really big problem. The other significant problem we have that I don't know is the case in France is gambling.
Yeah, we don't have this much. But yeah, it's true. But here you go to any, you know, last time I went with a friend of mine to have a drink, they were like behind the bar, you have gambling machine.
Yeah, it's big culture in Australia. Well, not that I participate at all, but it's a great opportunity for people just to spend more money without realizing, and it does get out of control. Gambling addiction is a really serious issue in Australia. Very serious.
Yeah. So it's very interesting for me coming from a different culture to notice that. But for sure, there is a big power in awareness and knowing your number and so on. And I don't know if it's something that would be relevant for anyone listening to this, but I personally do every Thursday my financials for my business. So I have time every Thursday because Thursday is Jupiter day. So it's a day of abundance. So I love doing that on Thursday. So every Thursday I have time in my calendar and it's not more than an hour. And often it's only 15 minutes, you know, because as I do it every Thursday and I can check my profit, I can check the revenue coming in. I can put money aside for my taxes. I can look at the invoices that will be coming in and all of that. So I love doing that on the Thursday. And for our personal life with Johan, we organize this kind of evening date night where we open our Excel spreadsheet and look our expenses. But I guess for us, the difficulty that we have, it's sometimes deciding between different investments.
Yes, yeah, sure.
So I would love for anyone who's listening to this, but also selfishly for myself, how do you recommend for anyone who is in this, you've progress through the three mistakes. Great. You know how much it costs to open your front door. You put money aside. You're not buying, you're not eating or wearing your money or driving your money.
Eating your money.
You're not putting your head in the sand. Like you've done all of this. And then like, oh my gosh, I have this much that I can invest.
Yes.
And how do you define, because my personal story, and I'm happy to share because it's, a podcast where I often share vulnerably, it's I have had bad experience with some financial advisor, and I know it's, everyone is having their own experience, and it's not like they were not accredited and so on. It's more, the trust is really important in that process. So we decided to actually do it ourselves, which we're doing pretty well so far, like really diversifying and all that, ETF here, investment property there, investment in some startup scale up. Like we've a very diversified portfolio across different countries as well, because we're in France and in Australia. But, the next lot, it's really this moment where like, do I trust again a financial advisor? Do I do it myself? So do you have any help for anyone who is in that beautiful situation where you actually have extra cash that you're looking to invest?
Yeah, look, I think that's a great question. I'm no doubt people fear that next step. And so it's great that you've got alignment with your partner on this. So I just want to call that out first, because that's quite brilliant, because I do spend a lot of time making sure that in relationships, everyone's accountable financially.
Yeah.
Because what we find is people delegate financial responsibility in relationships to one or other
person. Oh, we do it together. Yeah. Because I have seen my parents doing it together, and, I think, and Johan's parents got divorced, and I think we learned from Johan's parents' story. And so, we do it together. That's really, I don't delegate to him to update my Excel. We do it together.
Yeah, no, and that's brilliant. It's rare. And so I'm calling it out because I think it's brilliant that you do that. I'm not dissimilar to that, but probably for similar reasons as well, recognizing that if you don't pay attention to it, your financial literacy is at risk. And we've spoken about that before, you and I. You want to make sure that you're across all these things so that you understand how to. So that's actually the first step, is making sure that you are across the numbers, because your own financial literacy, you need a baseline of financial literacy to go and talk to a financial advisor about what you might want help. I talked a little bit before about financial goals. So for yourself and Johan, if you sat back and said, well, what's our goal here? That might actually help inform the type of investment, because one of the things you look at is sort of longer term and short term. You look at income returns versus capital returns. Some assets have higher yields than others. Some have more capital growth. It's a combination of all these things. But getting to finding the right person, apart from ensuring that, so yes, take a recommendation from a friend, somebody who's had a good experience. Yes, notwithstanding that, check out their qualifications. But what I recommend, it's a bit like dating. You have to go and have a coffee with the person, have a chat with them, and see if you genuinely feel that rapport. Often I find in couples, someone might get on well with that person and the other person might not. There's no reason why you can't have two financial advisors on certain bits of your money as well. But the other thing that I talk a lot about is making sure you do your research. Mm-hmm. So you need to be armed. So if you're doing investing in property or ETFs and commercial or residential property or any other type of investment, plus tax is a big consideration for you with French and Australian complications, you want to do your research before you rush into a particular type of investment. So you need to be as dangerous as you can be with that information, but then have a professional that you're talking to sort of make the final decision. So I think the main thing for me is actually, once I've ticked those couple of boxes we talked about at the start, actually making sure that I have rapport with them, that I can reach that person on a mobile phone when I need to speak to them about an investment and someone who doesn't make you feel like an idiot.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. Thank you so much. And definitely through reading your book and through, you know, the other works that we've done around our investment with Johan, we're pretty clear and aligned about our goals. So I think we're just going to open ourselves to finding the perfect financial advisor for our next adventure, because now we're very clear about our goals. And you have a beautiful download as part of your book to help, you know, people define their goals. And I think it's always some things that I recommend in business, which is working backwards from the vision. And I think it's the same thing with your financial future. It's working backwards from, when do you want to retire? Do you want to retire? But when do you want to retire if you do? You know, what is your, again, opening your front door? Like, how much will you need for that?
Yes.
Where, what have you put in your superannuation and the different dividends? Yeah.
And it's baby steps, right? I think all of these things, they all add up to something, but making the decision, for example, I'm not going to rely on credit cards, number one. I'm not going to rely on Afterpay or the Harvey Normans of the world, number two. So you start working through what are the, make it easier for yourself too. Don't try and say, I want to buy a house at the end of 2024 and I'm going to need X dollars deposit. That could be a real stretch. There could be, and you don't want to live like a pauper if that's not your style. What I mean, you know, you don't want to be living off two-minute noodles because you decided you wanted this financial goal of owning a home. So, you know, be reasonable about the expectations you're putting on yourself, because what tends to happen is when people, if they go too hard, they tend, it's a bit like, I did hear this analogy, it's a bit like dieting. You know, when someone restricts you, after a period of time, you know how people gain weight after they've been on a diet, because after you've been restricted, you start to sort of do the opposite. And spending is very similar. If you've been restrained, naturally when people, I see this often, when people get a bonus or some type of commission in their job or role that wasn't sort of planned but kind of knew it was coming, it doesn't get put towards the mortgage. It gets put towards the fun stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's all discretionary spending. And I guess the important thing is, if you step back to your financial goal, realistically the best thing you could do with that tax refund is put it on a mortgage or put it into superannuation if you've got a, you're not on your cap and you can put some more money into super. It's much wiser than, sure, buying or doing something flamboyant with it, which is what I see like 90% of the time.
Yes, I love that. Thank you so much, Jackie, for guiding us today and sharing all your wisdom. So I like to ask this question as a last question is, can you share with us, and it can be a financial decision or any other decision, a bold decision that you made following your intuition?
Oh, yes, actually. I had a great, I was at a career intersection a couple of years ago, and I had a very senior partner at the firm I was at, Deloitte, who said to me they wanted me to take on a particular project. And you know, when someone asks you, and I was always used to saying yes, I said yes to everything my whole career, but I had one of those moments when I was asked, and inside my gut, so I'm calling that my intuition, my gut was screaming no, and I never said no. And I came home and I chewed it over and chewed it over, and I knew that the right decision was to go back and say thank you, but no thank you, which I'd never done. And I can tell you, I didn't feel authentic when I said no, because I'm so used to saying yes to everything. It didn't feel, it was the weirdest feeling, but my gut and intuition said don't do this. And I'm so glad looking back where I am now that I didn't do that. But yes, anyway, it's just it was a career thing. Scary.
Yes, yes. Yes, I love it. Thank you so much, Jackie, for sharing. So for anyone who is listening to this and is like, How can I learn more from Jackie? So you can get her book, Stop Worrying About Money. We'll put all the links in the show notes. But tell us a bit more, Jackie, about what you do and how any listener who is inspired by this conversation want to reach out. How can they reach out to you?
Oh, thanks for asking. The easiest way to contact me is on my website, jackieclark.me. So you can find me there. And just a hot tip for everybody, on there is a link to a free chapter from the book. And naturally on there's all of the how to stop worrying about money activities that come with the book as well. So you can access those at no cost. And Letitia, I'd be happy to do a sort of special offer for your listeners if you'd like me to share that.
Yes. Yes.
So I'm kind of really excited today. I guess coming up to Christmas, it's only the right thing to do. But if you were to buy a copy of my book online, Amazon Booktopia, it doesn't matter where, Dimmicks, if you can email me a copy of the receipt, I will send you a copy of my book for you to give as a gift to a friend or somebody who you think needs to stop worrying about money.
Yes. Great. It is so needed. A gift. Hey, we love gift. And Jackie is very generous. She is amazing with all of her knowledge. And I love that we share the same, you know, experience in one of the big corporate, like one of those that I worked at. It's really beautiful. When we were doing our book launch with Karen, you and I was like, oh my gosh, the Deloitte girl in the room.
I know.
It was so interesting. Okay, thank you so much, Jackie, for today. Do you want to have a closing tips or some things that you'd like to share that I didn't ask question about for our listeners?
Why not? Why don't I say there's an opportunity for you to get off whatever treadmill you're on. And the way to consider getting off that is by looking at your baseline costs to work out how you can make the necessary changes to live your best life.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you so much, Jackie, for today.
Thank you for having me.
And that's a wrap. Thank you so much for tuning into the Essential Shift podcast today. I hope you enjoyed it. Please subscribe, leave a review, and even give it a shout out on social media. You can find me at essential.shift on Instagram. Until next episode, blessed be.